Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you? Welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Caroline.
And today we are talking about women's role in peacekeeping, peacemaking, in the context of global security, conflict resolution, ending wars.
And apparently we're good at that.
Yeah, we're really great at it. And by we, I mean women, not necessarily Caroline and I.
Yeah, I've never made or kept peace.
You just...
On the global scale.
You just make fights. Global fights.
Fist fights. Hey, yeah.
Yeah, we wanted to talk about women in peace today, partially because of some comments that Hillary Clinton made. Hillary Clinton, but her official title as a Secretary of State of the United States of America. She was at a women's breakfast in Munich in early February, and she was commenting on the need to get more women involved in the international peacekeeping process, because she points out that women and children are the primary victims of 21st century conflict, and says, quote, "In the last two decades, dozens of conflicts have persisted because peace efforts were unsuccessful. Talks broke down, agreements were broken, parties found it easier to fight than to negotiate, and far too often in these failed efforts, women were marginalized, making up, by one estimate, just 8% of all peace negotiators."
Right, which is, it is a very tiny percent, and she speaks the truth. But there are three very important women that we should talk about who have been involved in the peace process, and those are the winners of the 2011 Nobel Peace Prize, which was awarded in October. And they went to Liberian President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, who's a Harvard-educated economist and the first woman to be elected president in modern Africa, peace activist Lema Gabawi, also of Liberia, and a pro-democracy campaigner from Yemen, Tawakkal Karman.
And this was seen as a really significant acknowledgement of women's role in peacemaking, and also sort of a call to get more women actively involved in the formal processes. Because as we'll talk about in the podcast, it isn't that women have been completely inactive. It's just that we've had to work outside of the formal negotiating processes through grassroots organizations, protesting, organizing other women in the community in order to get attention and work in that way. So the United Nations is also going to be a pretty strong theme in today's episode, because it's getting more women to the peace talks tables is one of their primary focuses right now. And this goes back to the year 2000 when former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan said that for generations, women had served as peace educators, both in their families and in their societies, and they proved instrumental in building bridges rather than walls. And I don't know about you, Caroline, but that quote right there really starts to hint at the undercurrents of why women are so desired at the peace table, the theory behind what women bring, our unique skill sets that we bring with us.
We do have unique skill sets. And as Gebaoui said after the Nobel Peace Prize was awarded, she said, it's finally a recognition that we can't ignore the other half of the world's population. We cannot ignore their unique skills. And so, yeah, what are our unique skills as women? According to retired Lieutenant General Orit Adato of the Israeli Defense Forces, she says that we have soft skills. She spoke with a bunch of other female peacemakers at a meeting at Harvard University back in January. And she said that we have skills like the ability to see the whole picture, but at the same time to identify and give our attention to the details, to contain situations and deal with them, and to balance priorities. Another woman who was at the meeting was Samira Hamidi, director of the Afghan Women's Network, who said that women are likely to show commitment to the process. And Rebecca Joshua Akwesi, founder of the Sudanese Women Empowerment for Peace, said that women recognize the importance of building up civil society and individual rights to create long-lasting peace.
And the idea behind that is that women are particularly invested in preventing and stopping conflict because we are the ones who deal with the impact, the communal impact. I can't remember where the quote's from, but it's a common brunt that women have to bear on the home front, no matter where they are or what side of a conflict their respective nations might be part of. But another reason, too, why women need to be brought into the peacemaking effort is that there is such a legacy of failure at this point from how the traditional peace negotiations usually work. And this is coming from the U.S. State Department. For instance, nearly half of the agreements that ended conflicts in the 1990s failed within 5 years of signing it. 5 years.
Right.
Making it pretty incredible that, you know, that the Civil War resolution in the United States even has held on for so long. Also, according to the World Bank, speaking of civil wars, 90% of civil wars in the 21st century occurred in countries that already had a civil war in the previous 30 years. And so they think that the pitiful success rate might also have something to do with that lack of a female element that might theoretically look beyond just getting that handshake, getting the signature on the peace treaty, to actually building those community bridges and rebuilding those nations.
Exactly. And speaking of rebuilding, this is also, this was cited on the State Department website. According to research conducted by the International Crisis Group in Sudan, Congo, and Uganda, women who participate in peace talks often raise such issues as human rights, security, justice, employment, education, and health care, all of these being issues that are fundamental to reconciliation and rebuilding, which basically serves as the foundation for lasting peace, not just bringing down or bringing the conflict to a close, but actually supporting people in their efforts to rebuild.
And the fact of the matter is women have also proven themselves as capable peacemakers and community members and menders.
Uh-huh.
See what I
oh,
did
that's
there?
That's good.
In a global context. And just some examples. In Rwanda, for instance, in the 2003 parliamentary elections, women won 49% of the seats. And in 2008, it became the first nation with women making up more than half of parliament with 56.25% of the seats. And because of that, they have made significant contributions to post-genocide recovery and reconciliation. And on the other side of the world, in El Salvador, women's participation in negotiations have had a significant impact on the inclusion of women and non-combatants in reintegration benefits programs. And that's a really good example of how a lot of times when you look at these case studies of how the different issues that women have brought to the table, it is more inclusive of minority members or overlooked members of the community.
Right. And women are typically, according to a lot of these studies that we found, more willing to cross lines, whether those are ethnic lines, party lines. And going back to Rwanda, which you mentioned, after the 1994 genocide, several of the wives of the men who were involved in this atrocity, they came from different ethnic groups and political parties and ended up working together to create programs to assist survivors with housing, healthcare, education, and employment. So again, they're coming together from these opposite corners to help support citizens.
Mm-hmm. And just for another example, going over to North Ireland, in 1998 with the Good Friday Agreement, women negotiators secured commitments to involve young people and victims of violence in reconciliation and to accelerate the release and reintegration of political prisoners and also to ensure integrated education, another thing that comes up a lot of times, integrated education systems and housing into those peace accords.
Yeah, and women were also seen as honest facilitators. I don't know what the perception is of men, if they're dishonest in particular, but according to a UNIFEM report that referenced interviews with peace negotiators, they revealed that women's abilities to communicate, empathize, which we've talked about several times on the podcast, build trust and engage all sides, fostered negotiation and compromise, and just their presence, just being there, seemed to calm men down. Apparently, men were less likely to be aggressive around the negotiating table if women were present.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
So we've been talking a lot about what women bring to the table and why it is so important to have them there. Closing the gender gap alone in negotiations like this can often lead to a more stable society and more productive peace talks. And in recognition of this, and in a way to encourage more women to be involved, the UN Security Council adopted Resolution 1325 in the year 2000, and it urged member nations to ensure increased representation of women at all decision-making levels and in the mechanisms for the prevention, management, and resolution of conflict. And it basically called for the inclusion of women in the entire process. And we mentioned that, you know, Clinton had this breakfast in Munich for women.
Hillary Clinton ate breakfast in
Munich. She ate breakfast in Munich one time, and she said that with the adoption of the resolution, we tried to make a very clear statement that women are still largely shut out of the negotiations that seek to end conflicts.
Well, and I think it's also this huge issue of the nature of 21st century conflict, where a lot of times the major damage is not done on the front lines anymore, but felt more in those communities. And because men and women experience conflict differently, they understand the peace process differently. And only by bringing everyone to the table, we're not saying that men should be excluded by any means, but by including more women, the UN thinks that they can ensure greater global security. So what has happened since they voted unanimously for Resolution 1325? Well, mixed results.
Yeah.
just to understand their logic for it, the UN felt that women are critical for empowering women in the host community, mm-hmm. for the screening of female ex-combatants, assisting female ex-combatants during the process of demobilizing and reintegration into civilian life, especially for preventing sexual violence and abuse, and also interviewing survivors of gender-based violence, mentoring female cadets at police and military academies. And this is a really key one that we've seen with how the U.S. military has used female soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan to engage with the community. This issue of interacting with women in societies where women are prohibited from speaking to men. And at that point, like having female police officers and female soldiers in those conflict-ridden areas is so crucial for engaging the community. And they also say that the presence of women peacekeepers can help, by doing all of that, reduce conflict and confrontation, improve access and support for local women, empower women in the community, which, as we've mentioned on the podcast many times, is linked to greater community security, better education, better outcomes for the children.
According to UNIFEM, UNIFEM, very important organization, they took a look at women's roles since 2000, the typical roles that women have had in peace negotiations. And really, the roles have mostly been from the sidelines, traditionally, going way back, not just since the resolution. But turns out that the UN has never officially appointed a woman as chief mediator of a peace process.
Right.
Which... that's just silly. And few women have actually been signatories to the text of accords. So we haven't been putting our John Hancock on them either. And while women have served as witnesses to the process, their role is largely representational. We usually end up holding parallel peace conferences to the major one, just so that people are aware of our opinions and what we find to be important. So it also kind of serves to highlight the fact that we are often excluded. So we end up holding these parallel, either grassroots type of protests or just meetings in general.
But Caroline, one reason why there might be still a limited role for women in peacekeeping is this key statistic that 10 years after Resolution 1325 went into effect, only 16 countries had developed national action plans for implementation, which was part of that UN security resolution, asking all of its member nations to sit down and say, hey, how can we get more women involved? And since a lot of those nations haven't even done that, for instance, the U.S. National Action Plan on Women, Peace, and Security was only drafted last year, I think that's one of the reasons why we're still seeing that big gender gap. But one question that we haven't addressed yet is whether or not gender, the construct of gender, really makes all of a difference, because all of this is based on the notion of gender mainstreaming, which is a process of assessing implications for women and men of any planned action, including legislation, policies, programs in all areas and at all levels. Essentially, it's providing, you know, trying to equalize those numbers of women and men. But is gender the issue, or are we only perpetuating stereotypes of the female, you know, the construct,
right,
that we're nurturing, and we're bringing all these soft skills to the table and unnecessarily masculinizing the people who are already there?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point. But it seems to be that, I can't answer that, but it seems to be that women are bringing just a different perspective and a different set of skills, whether they are soft or hard skills, to the table. And we seem to be bringing different demands. And according to UNIFEM, in about 75% of the demands that they looked at from women negotiators, women have highlighted sexual violence as mm-hmm. a special concern. So we're bringing a perspective that maybe male negotiators aren't putting as much weight on.
But one argument against this emphasis on gender is the idea that it's unnecessarily feminizing peacekeeping. And it's this thing that, because women's innate peacefulness, I say innate in quotes, has long been lodged as an argument against allowing women's participation in the military, it's now being used as a force for their inclusion. So it seems like these kind of, it's the opposite sides of the same coin. But like you said, I mean, the kind of issues that women are bringing to the table are very important. The huge issues, especially of post-conflict sexual violence.
Right, which is often used as a way to oppress an entire group of people.
Right.
It's definitely a tactic of warfare.
It's not the issue of gender, but empowerment that makes the difference. And this is coming from a study of gender and conflict resolution within a workplace context, but I feel like it applies pretty nicely to peacekeeping as well. And this is coming from Carol Watson at Rutgers University's Center for Negotiation and Conflict Resolution. And they found that in conflict resolution scenarios, power was a better predictor of feelings, behavior, and outcomes of managerial negotiations than gender. And regardless of gender, empowerment correlated to greater expectations of cooperation from opponents, feeling more powerful in control, and more satisfied with outcomes. So it's kind of the idea that if we open up these doors for women to sit down at that table, instead of having to go through these external routes mm-hmm. Just to get someone's attention and bring equal power to the negotiating tables, then perhaps we could break beyond those gender barriers and really come up with something lasting and long-term. I mean, again, this is all theory, but I thought that was an interesting component to add to this discussion.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
And I also feel like one thing that's important to bring up from the U.S. National Action Plan on Women, Peace, and Security, which is their outline for their goals for gender mainstreaming with conflict resolution, disaster relief, humanitarian efforts. And one of those is mobilizing men as allies. And I think that's something else that's often left out of this conversation of the need to bring women to the peace table, but also bringing in the men and remembering that half of the conversation as well. Because this isn't about gender exclusion. You know, this is more about an inclusion. And I think that it's important to remember that those guys are also the allies, too.
So we've definitely touched on how, more than touched on it, but we've shown you how women are not as involved in the peace process as they should or could be. And that gender-blind peace accords are still the norm. I mentioned earlier about how women are more likely to bring up sexual abuse as a tactic of warfare and how that needs to be prevented. And UNIFEM took a look at 300 peace agreements, and that roughly corresponded to 45 peace processes since 1989, and only 18 mentioned sexual gender-based violence. Maybe if we do bring more women to the table, bringing their perspective, these peace agreements will not just focus on women as an accessory.
Right. I mean, and also to that point, with that UNIFEM study that you mentioned, out of the 585 peace agreements, only 25 even referenced general political and legal equality on the basis of gender or non-discrimination. So it's beyond just sexual violence. I mean, a lot of times just issues of human rights mm-hmm. are overlooked. And since women are often marginalized, more marginalized than men, that is a unique perspective that needs to be brought to these tables.
Correct.
So we don't have all of the answers for it, but I think that it's pretty clear that while women are not necessarily superior peacemakers, we are necessary actors in that process.
Right, because, I mean, you know, we talked about gender equality and gender mainstreaming to get people, men and women, on an equal footing. I just think that women's issues are not just women's issues. They're human rights issues, and women who are raped or attacked during wartime, that's a major issue for the society in which the conflict is happening. And so that needs to be a major focus of whatever peace agreement's going on as well. It can't just be, yes, we want to end the conflict, but it can't just be about like, okay, it's done. Now let's move on. Everybody's happy now, right? No, there has to be some attention paid to rebuilding these people and rebuilding these towns.
Right. And that also goes for disaster relief efforts, humanitarian efforts, basically gender mainstreaming across the board. Whenever it comes to community rebuilding, it's something important that needs to happen. And hopefully, we will see more action, more empirical data to prove that people are really taking UN Security Resolution 1325 more seriously. But I think it's pretty rad in the meantime that Hillary Clinton is speaking out on behalf of getting more women to the table.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all we have to say about women and peace. Anyone out there who has studied this or has been active in peace processes of any sort.
At the top, or maybe just a grassroots.
Hillary Clinton, you know, if you're listening, yeah. That's cool too. You can email us, momstuff@discovery.com. And we have a couple of completely unrelated letters to read to you.
All right. This is an email from Ryan about our wrestling podcast. And he says, this is incredible. I'm so glad he emailed this. He said that my wife's aunt, Johnny Mae Young, started pro wrestling in 1941. She's gone by multiple titles, including Matriarch of the Mat. She appeared in a Raw event as late as 2002. But one of our favorite bits about her is her Jay Leno interview with Snoop Dogg. YouTube no longer has it due to copyright, but it was hilarious. I haven't seen it yet, but a documentary was made about her and her wrestling partner called Lipstick and Dynamite. And he references Wikipedia if you want to read more about Johnny Mae Young.
And I've got one here in response to our episode on faking orgasms from Fabio. And he writes, don't do it. You are basically rewarding for bad performance and teaching the man that what he just did was correct. The result is that he will continue doing the wrong thing. Don't worry about the ego. It's a myth that guys are fragile about prowess. The attitude of Harry in the movie is not accurate at all. That's when Harry met Sally. We know very well that we get faked because most of the time we can tell. We don't say anything so as not to make a fuss and bruise your ego. Oh. For some reason, many women think that they're awesome at faking it, but I'm sorry, it just makes you look shallow. When praise is a lie, it's just bitter. Not faking will also make all those times when it does happen all the more special, and he might just stick around and talk a little... He might just stick around and talk a little longer during the afterglow. We also know that some women simply can't or don't consider it a necessity, and that's cool. The only time you can justify faking is if you want to get it over with and plan to never have sex with that person again. Oh. So there's a guy's perspective on faking orgasms. That's what I mean, faking. And if you have anything, again, to send our way, momstuff@discovery.com is the address. You can also head over to Facebook and leave us a comment there, or tweet us at momstuffpodcast, and you can read all of the things that we've been working on over at our parent site, howstuffworks.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.